Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Hey, how are you? I'm Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O, here today for my good friends Ryan and David. You may know if you listen to the podcast Radical Retro Rewind.
I love it.
All of it.
Radical Retro Rewind.
She even looks older.
You like my art collection?
Yeah, we've heard that one before, mummy.
What is it? I heard him shout.
Oh, yeah. Thundercats! Ho!
Who you calling a hoe?
Welcome back, Bunglers, to another episode of Radical Retro Rewinds, Thundercats Reviews. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother, David. Hi, David.
Well, hello there. It's lovely to be here.
We are back for another double shot of Thundercats. And today's episodes, I mean, we'll get into it, of course, but I really loved them, especially the first one. And it all boils down to, actually, there's a few moments that are great, Dave.
I know a moment that you probably like.
I have guarantee you it's probably the same.
I did a visual for everybody that doesn't know.
David was spinning around like a hula hoop. You know, we had Sean Buddha McEwen on, the author of Hall of Omens, the unofficial guide to Thundercats toys and beyond. And we didn't really get to say too much to our bunglers because there was so much going on. We were talking to Sean. So we just wanted to say hi, bunglers. And we love you. We miss you. Of course, we have lovely Leah that provides us with audio. She provides us with laughs. Costas always giving us insightful things. We have Daniel, who's just a joy. So many. And I want to say a special shout out to our beautiful Mitesh, who's been feeling a little sick lately. David and I just want to send our love.
Our love, our healing thoughts, our positive energy, our prayers, all of it, because that's how we are. That's how we are.
We just love Mitesh and his beautiful family. So Mitesh, we're thinking about you and we hope that we're sending you more laughs today. Okay, so David and I were about to record and I just so happened to see on Instagram, David, that Melanie Britt, the voice of Shira, posted this post, and it turns out that John Irwin, the iconic voice of He-Man and Prince Adam in the Filmation He-Man, passed away. And Melanie wrote, "A letter to my brother. Aside from being friends in real life, for 40 years, we have been a team. We were He-Man and She-Ra. To have my brother pass on is a tremendous sorrow, even though I know life is not infinite. The tears I have are because John was a special, quiet man, and we shared a very special relationship in those roles as twin brother and sister. Your body of work will live in the hearts of so many people to whom you gave love and strength and hope and laughter in times of difficulty and the need to be calmed by laughter and hope. Working with you gave me strength and hope and caring as well. I remember the working times when I felt I could stand on your shoulders when I was going through a difficult day. Times when you reminded me of who I was portraying, your twin, She-Ra, the most powerful woman in the world. There was wonderful moments with all of our fellow actors, times of good work, times of sincere caring, and times of joyous laughter. Now you are gone and I cannot say hello anymore. My heart aches. I know you lived your life the way you wanted to live it. I'm glad I have a few lines of your voice messages to me to listen to, and as well watch you portrayed He-Man and say, I have the power. You did and still do. The joy and camaraderie you gave to me will give me the strength you always wanted me to share. After all, we are twins, He-Man and She-Ra forever." Beyond beautiful words, but I wanted to share that too because we always mention, and we talked about it with Sean in our last episode, the performances of voice actors. And my God, David, to hear, like, you want to hear things like this. You want to hear that He-Man and She-Ra honestly loved each other. And this is beyond beautiful.
Oh my God, I'm tearing up right now. It's such a testament to somebody's body of work, you know? In our lives, we don't always get to stand out. Many of us are just being, And, you know, to know, I think, again, we talked about this with Shauna, and we've talked about this on many episodes of the podcast, just being able to make a difference for somebody. And a lot of us do make a difference for people, but it's not put on TV, or it's not presented to a group of people. It's not in print, but
right.
You know, the thing Sean had mentioned, that going to these conventions that these voice actors and just these different people that have meant so much to many of us for many different reasons are getting older. And we know that time is not on our side to show your love, even if it's something simple as just saying you really made a difference for me, or, you know, I always looked forward to, you know, the show when I came home, I was by myself and you made me feel comfortable, even if it was for 30 minutes, you gave me the strength to tell my parents that I was being abused sexually by somebody because of something you said at the end of the episode. Again, these are things that mean a lot to a lot of people. So it is a loss. It is a circle of life. It is lovely. It was lovely to see that they had a close relationship and wasn't, you know, that you always want to believe that. You always want to believe that these people, whether they're voice actors or actresses or newscasts or whoever you look up to or you think is cool, or you see people like on TV and you find out later on that whatever, like so-and-so hated each other the whole time. You're like, you're shattered because they had such a good chemistry on TV or
Charmed. No. We have to mention it.
You don't think I know who you are, who they are, who those people are? No. It's nice to know that they were, and it is a beautiful testament to a relationship that spanned 40 years. And it tears me up because, I am a sentimental person. I'm a person that firmly believes the best way to live your life is a life lived well. Like, you know, I believe the best revenge, like people say, if you want revenge, the best revenge is a life lived well. It's not about necessarily stabbing the person back, but living a good life and showing that I have triumphed. I am in a good place. I've done something with my life. I am content. And that's different for many people. And Ryan and I have discussed this too. And I've never wanted to be the CEO. I am not the type of person that needs to be the top tier of everything. I am comfortable with who I am. I'm comfortable with what I know. I am contented with what I have and who I am. Of course, you need money and you need these things because that's how life works. You pay for things, you buy things, you have to afford things. We understand that. That's why we tell you to follow the podcast because I only got $8 back this month. This quarter for this podcast. No, I'm only kidding. No, it's not. It is true. We've only got
$8. It is true.
It's so funny. Some people need that spotlight, and some people, but I say at the end of my days, I know that I've lived and gotten the things that I've wanted. You know, I wanted a family, I wanted to be married, I got a house, I got the things that were important to me. I don't know, I'm very sentimental right now because it's like a piece of my childhood has now been ripped away. Obviously, he's not voice acting He-Man anymore, and those things will always remain in archives and reruns and DVDs and digital media, but, you know, the voice of He-Man's gone, silent, you'll never hear it again. Whether or not it's a little, maybe not a little different, a little crackly, a little, you know what I'm saying? It's like funny that, you know, like we had Larry Kenny. Larry Kenny did a little thing for us, and he did Thundercats, ho! And it was really cool. His voice sounds pretty darn close, if not just about the same. But you know what? Even a little bit of tinge, it's just a natural progression of life. And I enjoy that. That's why I like listening to old records, because the crackliness. It gives it a little different tone. Yeah, I am very sentimental about it. But to know that they enjoyed each other's company, they were lifelong friends. And
oh my God, it's beautiful.
It's got to feel sad, even though they're not blood relatives, that they shared something and they had a camaraderie. And they were like a sister and brother to each other. And that's a beautiful testament. That's something that at the end of the day, when you close your eyes, this is something that you had, that you shared a life. And he probably had family. I don't know. I don't know his whole backstory.
Two iconic roles that will live on, and just
that's why they're making another movie.
Yeah,
I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. It's making another movie. Another how many versions of the cartoon? How many action figures? How many dolls have they sold? How many vehicles and cartoons and comic books and references in culture media? Hallmark ornaments for Christmas. Yeah. Everything you can think of, anything that is infused into our pop culture. So, testament.
And it's perfect for today because we are a podcast that does do Thundercats. And of course, He-Man is our brother show in Thundercats, honestly. I mean, we always compare them, but He-Man and Thundercats and She-Ra are like the holy trinity too. I feel like, to me anyway.
Any 80s after schooler that came home, ran home to watch, you had your He-Man, your She-Ra, and your Thundercat.
Of course, Transformers. I mean,
well, of course, but I'm just saying, like, you know, these were in the context of Warrior, you know, Warrior, like that sort of vibe. Yeah, of course, Transformers and G.I. Joe and everything from Strawberry Shortcake to My Little Pony to you name it. It's anything. But I'm just saying for that comparative.
And not to bring up our interview with Terry Hawks again, but when you were talking about the voices, such a joy to hear these voices that are... So you could still hear the character, like you're saying, Dave. You could still, when Terry Hawks did her healing activation, Sailor Moon,
which
David,
was so amazing. And I'm Ryan knows this. It sounds so funny because I am can be very outspoken once I'm juiced up. You know what I mean? When I'm ready charged, once I'm in an environment where I can flourish and start talking to people, I'm like talk a mile a minute, and I'm exuberant and I'm engaged. Very embarrassed, and like it was like so like amazing that she took the time to, because I have been like I've been like my whole family's been sick, and it's been an extended period of time.
Yeah, it never ended.
And unfortunately then new illnesses come in and you might have a weakened immune system, and anybody that has children, they're petri dishes. They go to school, even if my children are this cleanliness as they possibly can, which sometimes they're not, even if you give them hand sanitizer and all thing, it's like the school is dirty, kids don't wash their hands, and it's like you keep going around and around and around no matter how clean you try
speaking
to keep
of
your
the
home
circle of life.
I mean, now my oldest son is sick again. He was the one that was holding out for the longest, and now he's sick, and it's like, oh god, is he gonna get us sick again? So it's like, to have someone do that for me, it was really special. Someone that never met me, and it means a lot. I was almost embarrassed. I was like hiding because it's so sweet, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, people say like you're on a podcast, you want to be center of attention. No, It's nice, but it's not why we did this to begin with. I mean, don't get me wrong. If someone just offered us a television show, yeah, I'm not going to be like, bye, Kelly Clarkson. No, I'm just kidding.
Jennifer Hudson.
Bye. I'm filling that slot. I will sing too. It could be off key. I'll get it auto-tuned.
We're all taking the American Idol alumni position.
Taking you out.
With that being said, John Irwin, you will live forever. Matter of fact, we just posted clips on our YouTube today of you talking as He-Man, and that voice, much like She-Ra, Lion-O, Chitara, Sailor Moon, you close your eyes, you hear those voices. You can hear He-Man. You know, it's just, it will live forever.
Yes, and thank you for, oh my God, I'm going to get all teared up. Thank you for everything. Thank you for also being a supplemental moral compass. Yes, we learned a lot from our parents, but it was also nice to, sometimes it's nice to hear a third party that isn't an authoritative person to tell you the right thing to do.
Right, exactly. In a kind way, truly.
Hello, Joshua. This is He-Man. Somebody told me how much you enjoyed my adventure story, so I thought I would send this special tape to you. It's yours to keep and play whenever you like. You know, Joshua, I have a lot of problems here on Eternia, but with the help of my good friends, I'm usually able to work things out. That's the way it is with friends. When everything is fine, well, it's great to have them around, you know, to help share the fun, the good times. But when I have a problem, well, that's when I really need them. It's not that they can always do something, but it sure helps just having them there, having a friend to talk to, somebody who really cares about me. Friendship, well, it's a very special thing. And that's why I'm sending you this message. I have a favor to ask. I'd like to be your friend. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of good friends already and a wonderful mother and father who help you work out your problems. But you can always use another friend. I know you can. Besides, I need a friend on your planet Earth. I mean, someone I can count on. Someone who can count on me. So how about it? Joshua and He-Man. Hey, I like the way it sounds. Wait until I tell Orko. Oh, I almost forgot. Orko, Teela, and Man-at-Arms made me promise to say hello to you for them. And they send their very best wishes. As for Cringer, well, he wanted to tell you himself. Cringer? Cringer? Come over here, Cringer. Now Joshua's listening to us. You want to say hello?
Nice to meet you.
All right, Cringer. You know, it's time for us to go and time for you to become Battle Cat so we can find out what Skeletor is up to.
If you don't mind, I'd rather stay here and talk to Joshua.
No, come on, Cringer. Sorry. Sorry, you old fraidy cat, but we do have to go. Well, Joshua, we're off for another adventure. I've sure enjoyed talking with you, and I hope we can do it again soon. But for now, I'll leave you with these words. So long, friend.
Today's first episode is The Key to Thundera, with the original air date September 19th of 1988. Again, possibly. Thank you to the Thundercats Wikipedia for the synopsis and trivia we will be using. After Lion-O and Starf get trapped inside the Book of Omens, Mumra tries to make sure that they remain there forever. So David, we start at the Cat's Lair where Snarf and Lion-O are doing taxes at the table, I wrote. They're busy working on the books. And I loved this.
This is, I'm dubbing this episode.
Oh, you got a name. You got an alternative name.
Well, I'm actually unofficially naming this Hold Me Closer, Tiny Mumra.
What amazing moment. I'm
calling it Hold Me Closer, Tiny Mumra.
Hold me closer, Tiny Mumra.
Hold me closer, Tiny Mumra.
Count the lights along the cat's lair.
Wrap me up in sheets of linen.
Wrap me up in sheets of linen.
Oh, ancient spirit, I had a busy day.
You had a busy day today.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer. Hold me closer. Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer. Tiny Mumra.
Or A Crazy Night at P.F. Chang's with all those dragons.
Oh my god!
Which is funny because my children went the first time to P.F. Chang's. Who if they don't, I don't know if they have them in other places. I guess it's a
chain, right?
It's like a chain, but it's supposed to be like an upscale Asian infusion. Like they do a little bit of Thai, they do a little bit of Chinese, a little bit of Japanese. It's all just mixed up, and it's like a chain. But it's back in the day, like in the late 90s and 2000, it was like when Starbucks first came out, everyone thought it was fancy, I guess.
Yes, upscale.
Like upscale, but anyway.
So, upscale.
It was so funny. We went there, and I like, and then I watched this episode, and I was like,
oh my god.
I'm back at P.F. Chang's.
Do you have the key?
Do you have the menu?
Do you have the menu?
Oh, God. So we're back to the Thundercats. It's Lion-O and Snarf trying to figure out, decode the Book of Omens again.
It's been a while, though, Dave, since this book has come up. They still have no clue of what's it saying.
Oh, this is hopeless, Snarf. We've been studying the Book of Omens for weeks now. It seems impossible to crack the code.
You said it. My eyes are so tired that I'm starting to see double. Maybe the sword will work like a magnifying glass.
That's not a bad idea, Snarf.
Snarf gets this brilliant idea, which wouldn't you have thought the same thing?
I would have done this a long time, but I wouldn't have done what Lion-O did.
He said, why don't you use the sword to interact with it? And my God, David.
Like a magnifying glass, he said. Now, I would have said, just use the Sword of Omens and say, sight beyond sight. Maybe it'll give you some insight.
Why didn't he use sight? Why didn't he try
to do that, like, I don't know, 10 episodes ago?
And I'm just going to spoil it now, Bunglers. I'm giving this, David, a 4.9 out of 5.
Ooh.
Because there is so many scenes in this.
Well,
you know we
love a good Mumra centric episode. So there's a lot in here. There's a lot of one liners. There's a lot
Chitara,
of like
Chitara though.
There's a lot of one liners. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of funny. Mumra stole the show. I'm sorry. Mumra stole the show. So
he was on it.
So Lion-O loses the Sword of Omens, you know, the Swiss Army knife of weaponry to use it. He gets sucked into the Book of Omens.
He gets locked into position, though. He
like beams. The sword is locked, too. Like, a beam comes out, the sword interacts.
The book opens, he gets sucked in.
And, of course, the return of Mumra. We haven't seen him in a while.
Well, the Lord of the Thundercats, entrapped in a book. What better way for him to catch up on his reading?
But again, this just proves, David, he's literally just watching them read and do paperwork.
Listen, before- I always feel like somebody's watching me and I get no privacy. Oh, so Mumra goes, well, well, well. The Lord of the Thundercats trapped in a book. What's the better way for him to catch up on reading?
On it. And also Mum Mutt's breath.
Oh, he's like, my putrid pup or something? We have to do something about your breath.
And if we destroy the Book of Omens, then we will destroy the Lord of the Thundercats as well. What do you think of that, my putrid poodle? You know, Marmot, we really must do something about your breath.
But we've mentioned this. Mumra literally must have the funk of 40,000 years in his mouth. So what the hell is going on with Mammut? So anyway, in the meantime, in the command center, I call it, Chitara is at the council and Panthro and Tigra on New Thundera. Don't you know Panthro pulls out a key and he's like, what's this? Beautiful, beautiful design. Zach loves, by the way, our friend Zach loves the key of Thundera's design. And I totally love this. David, everyone who bought a Cat's Lair, the first, I forgot how many people, were given a key of Thundera as well, by the way. So
did you get a key of Thundera?
There should be a key of Thundera thrown in that box. All of a sudden, Snarf runs in and screams like he can't even speak. He's in the book of the... And whatever, Chitara's like, I gotta go, Panthro. I'll let you know what's going on.
Chitara, this is Panthro on Thundera. We've turned this place upside down looking for more of the treasure, and I think we finally found something important. Look.
It's branded with a cat's eye. It looks like some kind of key.
Exactly. The problem is...
Chitara, hurry! Help! Help! It's Lion-O! He's booked in a trap! I mean, he's backed in a troop!
Gotta go, Panthro. Looks like Snarf's in trouble. I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Roger.
Snarf, David, interacts and shows Chitara, like, this is what we were doing. He held the thing up like this, and Chitara's like, Snarf, no! Like, I love Lynn Lipton in this.
And I thought it was really interesting, again, the Sword of Omens reacted to the book while Snarf was holding the Sword of Omens. So it was more the book reacting with the sword as opposed to the sword reacting to the book. Well, first of all, you have Lion-O who's stuck in this dimension, and there's a... Lion-O comes up to this, like, what would you say, like a...
Grand throne. Like
up that's exalted, and there's like what appears to be sort of a would be like almost like an Eye of Thundera, but it's like a moving flame or something kind of a thing inside this eye. And he's like, do you have the key? And Lion-O's no, I don't have the key.
You have entered the Book of Omens. You wish to know its secrets. Do you have the key of Thundera?
Yes, we wish to know the secrets, but what is the key of Thundera?
This is the key of Thundera. Without it, you cannot unlock the secrets of the Book of Omens. Do you have the key of Thundera?
Well, no.
But wouldn't you have stepped to him and been like, I am the Lord of the Thundercats?
Honestly, I would have used that at least to see if it worked. I would have said, I am the Lord of the Thundercats. I don't need a key.
Like when, what's her name?
Don't step to me.
Yeah.
Don't step to me.
Like Sylvia Brown, the psychic, challenging Bela Lugosi in his mirror. Who were you? Well, who
Sylvia,
are you?
I'm Sylvia Brown, and I've smoked my seventh pack of cigarettes today.
Very Game of Thrones. I haven't watched that show, but I know they have that throne. It's a big...
It was a little gaudy. It was a little... I'm not going to lie. It's a little gaudy. Little gaudy. So then all of a sudden, all these pillars appear with P.F. Chang dragons shooting fire at Lionel.
Very... Japanese dragons. Very Japanese dragon design. So cut to Chitara screams at the book and she grabs it, David. She picks it up and screams at the book. I love this, David. She just literally is like, Snarf! What is happening?
Snarf! Snarf! Come back! Snarf! Snarf!
So like David says, the pillars with the dragon appears. And again, he's asking for the key. The one thing, yes, it is a kid's show that, of course, is funny. It just so happens that Panthro found the key in the episode that you need the key. But it's not even used, which is funny. But
well, not as of yet.
Did you notice it looked like Tigra and Panthro were at... It looked like the Mumra's Pyramid, almost. It looked like the...
Well, it is. It's the ruins of...
The ruins of
the
Mumra's
ruins
pyramid.
Of the new pyramid that he created on Thundera.
And then this... Oh my god, this comes back again. So,
yes.
All of a sudden, Mumra appears in the lair. And can I tell you, this is the first moment why this got almost a perfect score.
He's like, Chitara! He's like, Chitara! Get ready to give me that book and that sword.
But this is the best, honestly. You think, girl, are they gonna do Chitara wrong? Because it's
like
instantly... Are
they gonna run? Is she gonna run? She should have just ran.
No, but she drops the book and the thing instantly. And I'm like, no, they're not gonna do that to Chitara. And you know what they didn't, David? She rams Mumra, David. She rams Mumra and he flies screaming into the control room. And that is when she picks... That's what I mean. Again, Chitara is brutal. Like you said, she is a warrior. She literally rams Mumra. Like she just into him with her shoulder. He goes flying. And then, David, she turns into a tornado and picks up...
Chitara tornado spin.
Forget it, Mumra.
She sucks up the sword. She sucks up the Book of Omens. And she ends up taking a lot of blasts, though. So is she deflecting it somehow with the sword, possibly?
Or is she just spinning so fast that it's, like, swirling around her?
But, I mean, David, she kept getting that tornado was blasted, 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 blasted. I'm like, damn.
She should have moved that tornado, out the door.
She should have done that.
Behind the control panel.
But, my God, David, badass Chitara. Unfortunately, after Mumra did blast her about 10 times, she does succeed. He leaves her. Cut back to the pyramid. Oh my god.
Which starts the next round of comedy.
Mumra is going to boil the book for 3 minutes. Very precise. He's like, this should boil, hard boil them. What?
So, my pusillanimous gooch. Here is my recipe for success. You go bury the sword while I boil the Book of Omens, along with the Lion-O and the wretched Snarf. Seek it, Marmot! Seek it and bury it! About 3 minutes should parboil the Thundercats. What? No, no, Marmot, bad doggy. I said bury it, not fetch it. Now, seek it and bury it while I boil this.
And then he's like, Mama, take the sword and bury it.
But he keeps saying, sick it and bury it. To me, when he says sick it, Mom Mutt is probably like, yeah, I'm going to sick it and bring it back to you. And he keeps bringing it back.
He's like, no, he says some mean, he does say some mean thing. He's like, eat it, sick yeah. it, you stupid dog, whatever. He's like yelling at poor Mom Mutt.
He goes, I'm getting too old for this.
I know, I'm getting too old for this.
And oh that he's God. Going to take him to obedience school.
No, you lumpish lapdog! Get rid of the sword, or I'll send you to obedience school. I'm getting too old for this. Eat it. Do whatever you want to, but just get rid of it.
Eat it! Eat it!
Oh bury God. It! Get rid of it!
So oh my funny. God, it's Day of the Dead, Captain Rhodes. Eat it! Choke on it!
Do you think that he would have taken Mama to the verbal village? They have an obedience school too, like verbal training.
With Scooper, the robotic dog that appeared out of nowhere.
Maybe he'll have to disguise himself as, this is my dog. Wah, wah.
No, not even. Probably a warrior maiden. I have a dog now. Oh, shout out to one of our bunglers that actually emailed us. This is so random.
I love it. Thank you.
Alexander mentions that he has found his Willa voice. So maybe it was Willa, David. Willa.
What did he say? What did Alex say? I can't do it. You're a little off on your normal, Willa.
It's finally gotten back to me around the world, the cold. And today I woke up with a little thing in my voice, but let me tell you something. I love that. And I love that, Alexander, you reaching out to us. So anyway, maybe it was Willa. Maybe it was Nada.
Whatever her name, Naida.
Naida, by the way.
Or maybe he met her in a tree, like monkey and...
He met her in a tray. So inside, Snarf is being singed, he says to Lion-O.
His
whiskers are big because they're literally being flamed by the PF Chang dragons, like David said. And they keep asking for the key. Okay. So Lion-O says, you know, the sword got us into this. Maybe the sword will get us out of this.
How on Third Earth can the Sword of Omens get us out of here? We're inside and the sword's outside.
Not for long, Snarf. Sword of Omens, come to my hand.
So he calls to the sword and a bubble, a Glenda bubble, David.
Well, it picks the book up and the sword spins while it's holding the, while it's suspending the book and creates a, like a bubble around the book and the sword. By the way, it pulled Mama because Mama was holding on to it. Still think he's playing fetch like a good dog.
Eat it. He was still trying to eat it. Do anything to it. Oh my God.
Just get rid of it.
Bury it. Oh my God.
Not in the front yard. The HOA will know.
Oh my God. Chitara wakes up, communicates to Panthro and Tigra, you better get your butts back here because things are going down. She tells Wily Kit, get into the Thunder Tank. And that key that Panthro found, this is great. He's in the feliner. And
he's like, the throttle won't stay up. So he wedges the key. He's like, I found a use for this key.
It's Lion-O. We found him. Wily Kit, get a heading on that signal and meet me in the Thunder Tank.
You got it, Chitara.
The Cat's Eye. And it seems to be coming from Mumra's Pyramid.
We're on our way. Ah! Blasted throttle. It won't stay on full power. I've got it. This ought to fix it. We finally found one thing this blasted key is good for.
Now, Now, what's really funny is
random,
that
isn't that?
How Panthro discards this treasure when they're looking for these treasures, knowing that everyone that they have found so far has some significance to Thundera, their lore, like the chain of loyalty, everything else. Now, the fact that Panthro...
And it's beautiful, David, it's beautiful.
Well, besides that, how Panthro is almost like a real meathead here. Oh, well, it's just a key. Who knows what that could open up or
but
do?
But then later on, we'll get into it, but he makes a fancy box and puts it on there and just keeps it around anyway. So he jams it into the pow and he's like, full speed ahead. I mean, random, but I love it because this is, I think, genius Thundercats writing.
I was going to do it in the next episode, but I'm going to do it now because we spent a lot of time on this particular scene. In the next episode, Chitara is flying in the feliner again, and she's trying to make the feliner go faster. In the episode with Panthro and Tigra, he's having to push the lever up and jam it, where Chitara, to get it to go faster and throttle, she's having to pull the lever down. So that is the polar opposite of one episode to the next. Did you notice that?
You know what? I did. And thank you for reminding me, because I did notice that she...
I mean, it's not a big detail, but it's funny that they made such an emphasis on having to jam the key and push the throttle up, where she had to pull it down.
Maybe he fixed it, they could say, after the key.
I just thought it was interesting because they were back to back. Now, I would have probably not noticed that.
Never.
But maybe I would have, because they had to jam the key and make a big deal about it. Maybe. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Great. No, I love that point, Dave. So they're on their way. Lion-O and Snarf get out, but he says, I will get you. And Mumra wraps them in mummy wrap. I actually like when he does this. And David, we hear, which we haven't heard for a while, I'm tired. Oh my God, I need to get to my sarcophagus.
I am growing weak. I must recharge my energy in my sarcophagus. But this blasted book intrigues me.
We have not heard that in a while.
What has he done? Is it because he's been out of the sarcophagus watching them in the pool for so long? Why is he so tired?
I always thought it was if he did the ultimate form of the, you know, the ever-living, but no. Just the voyeurism, David, to go back to that. The many hours of watching them do nothing for hours and hours and ends. He's like, this is Big Brother 24-hour stream.
Now, if I was him, I would have taken I would have rigged up something in the sarcophagus. I would have had like a glass container, put some of the liquid from the magic pool in there, and have it on a screen and be like, just let me see what's going on here. It's called wireless internet, Ryan.
Wi-Fi. So Mumra tries to use the sword on the book and then is transported inside of the book. Chitara and Wile E. Cat arrive in the pyramid and free Lion-O and Snarf. This is when he goes, oh, I gotta go in there.
But he also summons the Thundercats. He does use the Thundercats ho call. And that's when they know it's Chitara and
Wile E. Cat.
Then they like get the trajectory, you know, get the coordinates, and like it's coming from the pyramid. So Tigra and Panthro head that way as well.
Just in time, you two.
Where's Mumra?
He's trapped in the Book of Omens.
And without the key, things are gonna get mighty hot.
Key? What key?
For all eternity, unless I go in and pull him out.
No, Lion-O, you mustn't go in there.
We're Thundercats, Chitara. We must help anyone in distress, even our enemies. I'm going in.
We also see a pan out of side of Mumra's pyramid, David, and that ruin of that thing that we only see in the end credits. It's like that, I don't know if it's part of the ship, but I feel like we saw it in the spaceship beneath the sands. There's like this big, like, skeletal ruin thing, and we see that for the first time in a while. So Mumra is crying. He is inside the book now. He's walking around.
Well, first of all, he gets upset because the voice, the thing is telling him, do you have the key? And he's like, I don't need a key.
I am the law.
I am the president of the HOA. I can go on your lawn at will. I can stomp on your lantanas.
My God.
And then give you a citation for it.
These poles? What are these gaudy poles?
Decorations up after the holidays.
They said, no key? The P.F. Chang pillars appear once more, and poor Mumra is screaming!
But he instantly turns back into his mummy. Was it because he was weak?
Yes, because he just had said he was weak. So he's like, oh, screaming, crying, begging for help. Cut to Lion-O holding the book, and he goes, Mumra will burn in eternity if I don't go back inside. So now, David.
Let him burn.
You had to hear this, because this is not Thundercats. He literally had to tell it for you.
Oh, I wrote that down. I wrote that quote down.
I got to go in.
Here's the thing. He goes in because Snarf is almost like, no, let him stay.
Yeah. Lion-O! Let him die!
If it was me, I would have said, Lion-O, why don't you use the Sword of Omens away from the book, do sight beyond sight, and see what's happening to Mumra right now, just curious. And if he saw him getting torched, I would have said, just wait a little while.
Let's wait a while.
Before we go too far. Yes, I would have.
Let those bandages get a little singed for a little while.
Well, here's the thing. Wherever evil exists, Mumra lives. That he would have never. How would he have died if he never dies? Didn't the Star of Thundera couldn't destroy him?
No, maybe the Book of Omens is infinite.
Well, then he should have stayed in there.
He should have stayed in there, and you know what? In the next episode, he should have brought the mutants in afterwards.
But the thing is that Lion-O does go into the book because he said that's not what Thundercats do. This is that
damn code again.
Why Superman does not kill Lex Luthor, why Thundercats help their enemies, why good is always good and triumphs over evil because it's good and it's not tainted by evil. That is that struggle.
Right.
That's a struggle that we all face in life. It's like when somebody does you so wrong and hurts you or hurts someone you love, your inclination is not to turn the other cheek. Your inclination is to go back at them and make them feel the way you were made to feel or the way they made someone that you cared about feel. It's not so easy to turn the other cheek when you've been harmed or you've been hurt. It's very idealistic to say it's okay. Now, for me, it wouldn't have been a revenge thing at that point. It would have been, we're protecting so many people.
Yes, and future problems. But here we are. So he goes in and, like David said, hold me closer, because I never noticed Mumra was so small compared to Lion-O in that
shot. Hold me closer, tiny Mumra.
Do you have the key?
No, I don't have the key, but I'll be back. Hold on, Mumra. Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I've had quite enough of this place for one day. Let's go home.
He is literally holding Mumra in his
embrace.
In his muscled arm. Yeah, he's like this. He's like, basically, Mumra is pressed against his pectorals.
Listen, if that's what it takes to get Lino to embrace me, I'll put on some rags.
That would be a rags to riches story, right?
I would put on a red cloak and cry for help. That cry of help would turn into cries of ecstasy.
You're going to make me crawl to you? My gosh, Mumra, crawl to me, Mumra.
Don't tell my husband, but that would be my free pass.
Oh my god. Oh my god. So, yes, Mumra doesn't even look back. He is safe in the arms of Lionel, and he glenders out. He glenders out. Mumra doesn't even look back. He's just like in his arms, just like
safe in your embrace. Isn't there a song like that?
Mumra's like, what are these strange feelings I've never felt before?
Come lift me up where we belong, where the eagles fly on a mountain high.
Love makes us act like
a fool. Oh, yeah.
When they get back, all the Thundercats are there, and Mumra runs into that sarcophagus.
Screaming. Is he screaming?
Screaming.
I've never been subjected to so much harm. I was attacked by P.F. Chang dragons. Then I had to be embraced by a cat man.
It felt his things scent, I never felt.
Your scent is all over me, your pheromones. Oh, God, I smell like a cat.
He's never been the same again. He just smells Lionel on his cloak.
What is this? Naughty Pines, I smell cat piss.
The return of cat piss, Mumra. Look up that. That is an early
That was with Pumra.
That was with Pumra.
The episode with Pumra. Look it up. And Mumra was being the supreme from American Horror Story.
Is it Wile E. Kid who goes, I can't believe you saved Mumra, Lionel, and he does the whole thing.
I still don't understand it. You risked your life in that book to save Mumra.
I had to do it, Wile E. Kid. Besides, I couldn't leave Mumra loose inside the Book of Omens. Who knows what Thundercat secrets he might discover?
The whole thing is useless anyway. We can't learn the secrets of the book without the key.
Key? What key?
The Key of Thundera. It's about this big.
You mean this?
The key!
I found it on Thundera. Thought it was useless. Almost threw it away.
Now we can re-enter the book and learn the secrets of Thundera. Snarf! Snarf!
If you don't mind, Lion-O, I think I'll sit this one out.
Lion-O did make another good point. He wasn't sure if Mumra would be able to, like, in other words, if Mumra was able to overcome whatever was in the book, would he learn secrets about the Thundercats and bring down their demise?
I don't think so. Unless it's like, day 7, my screams went unheard. So I decided to crawl for it. And I made my, like, where would he?
I was able to find another treasure.
Yeah. I was able to find a small box of food with some scraps. Some god.
And a gold bobby pin that Chitara would love. I called to her, Chitara, you know you want this gold.
Help me, Chitara. So the table, David, at Cat's Lair, notice they took away the extra chairs. I don't know, it's like folding chairs. When the other Thundercats come, they're like, Snarf, dig out the folding chairs from the closet.
It's company. It's when company comes over. Bring out the nice china. Make sure you clean really well. Put out the folding chairs. Don't make them too comfortable. Then they're going to want to stay. Going to want to go back to that tiny tower. What is it called in Seattle? The needle? You go back to the...
Oh, that's what it does look like. The space needle or whatever.
You go back to Seattle. We're going to stay here. Sorry. Pumair and Bengali have a cots or like have like a like little tiny wall hanging like things like in a prison. And poor Lynxo has a tiny chair that he has to sit at the braille board day and night. He never moves.
No, he never. He's always at that chair. His butt must go to sleep. We have this wrap up where, again, they're sitting at the table. Panthro, who made a beautiful box for the key and he's keeping it close, goes, Lionel, you said you need a key? Could it possibly be this beautiful key that I was going to throw out? I was going to throw out.
But then Chitara saw it on the screen and she said, if you don't bring it back to the lair, don't come home.
It's Alva. And he's like, that is the key. Because, you know, the voice did show him a picture. It was nice enough to go, this key. This
I know, the voice is like, do I have to show you visual props now? Are you that dumb?
When the Thundercats show was being developed, Leonard Starr's early concept for the Sword of Omens was for it to have two magnifying glasses in its hilt. While the concept was not used in this episode, Snarf hints at it by recommending, like David says, he uses the sword as a magnifying glass. In this episode, Mumra affectionately refers to Mom Mutt as a putrid poodle, and then unexplainably, many of the Thundercats are absent from this episode, including Wile E. Cat. But basically, other than Wile E. Cat, it was, of course, Lynx, Opumaira, and Bengali. We're used to that. The host scale, David, you heard mine. I gave it 4.9 out of 5. The ramming, the screams, the embracing.
I'm a little jealous of Mumra right now. So I am going to give it, let's see. I'm really close to on par with you. Like, the thing is that...
And it was different.
I would give it a full 5, but I feel like this nothing is perfect. Like, I'm that type of person, like, I can't say everything was perfect. I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to do a 4.9 only because I don't believe anything is perfect. I mean, maybe if Bengali was there exercising, doing a montage.
Maniac, or
if, I don't know, maybe Wizra came through the book.
I guarantee you that Super 7 Company is going to make a Wizra because they...
Well, I guarantee if they do, somebody, I don't know, a brother... Who is a podcaster?
I was just going to say, should
probably think about getting that.
I was just going to say that will be my gift to David because I just noticed they made Nader, which we love, but they made Safari Joe with the mule, that train thing that comes with it. So if they're making like characters like that, we're going to get Wizra. We might even get Tashi and the Doomgaze.
I'm going to do a 4.9.
We're starting strong. Will our next episode continue the streak right after these commercial breaks?
Attention, Thundercats fans! Prepare for the ultimate thrill with Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond. Embark on a global journey to unearth rare Thundercats figures from every corner of the world. Read the untold stories from brilliant minds behind the iconic Thundercats franchise, like Larry Kenny, Peter Lawrence, Jim Meskimen, and many more. Explore over 220 pages containing 2,000 plus captivating photos and uncover all the secrets of the Thundercats toys. Become the ultimate Thundercats expert and secure your copy of Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond today at ThundercatsToyGuide.com. Thundercats, ho!
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Return of the Thunder Cubs, with the original air date September 20th of 1988. Mumra turns Panthro, Tigra, and Chitara into the Thunder Cubs once again so that he may use Chitara's sixth sense to help him locate the lost items from the treasure of Thundera.
Clearly he got over his traumatic experience of being killed.
Oh my god.
And those strong, masculine, buff, delicious lion arms of love. I was a little bit what's the word I'm looking? I was a little apprehensive about this one, looking at the title, because
we know how you feel about the Thundercum.
I didn't know that Thundercum thing annoyed me.
But was it better done in this episode? I think
it was yes, because we didn't have to go to the Tunnel of Time and make a deal with the Inflamer and touch our toes and spin around and do a million things to get them back to their rightful age. So I'm very happy for that. That made me feel a lot better. Yes. So that made it okay for me. Now, it begins with Mumra having a nightmare and flashback.
So maybe he is traumatized.
He was traumatized. I was traumatized.
Maybe he was traumatized. And David, we've been talking about this for years now of us doing this episode. The ancient spirits of evil might begin to talk. Well, it finally happened. And they are not happy. Panthro is not happy.
You are running out of time, and we are running out of patience. Return to Thundera, Mumra, and find the lost treasures of Thundera, for only then will the Thundercats be defeated. Only then will evil prevail.
But I have no way to locate the treasure, ancient one.
Find a fragment of the casket which held the treasure, Mumra. Give that fragment to the Thundercat, Chitara, and her extrasensory powers will locate the remaining treasure.
How will I do that, ancient one?
Even though Chitara is planning an expedition to New Thundera, get there first, Mumra, and be prepared to greet us.
I will do as you command, evil one.
Spirits of evil are running out of patience, I put.
What do you think was the catalyst for this? They saw enough? Or they were kind of like, the writers were like, what are we going to get Mumra to do this week? Let's start starting him be abused.
I feel like the spirits of evil did increase his powers.
Yes.
Did do a lot of things. And I think a lot of the stuff that Mumra does is grandstanding.
And they're sick of it.
I think a lot of things, he doesn't like to get his hands dirty in many ways. He usually sends minions or does these half-hearted things. I also think that Mumra is their slave. You have to remember that. As much as Mumra is a terrifying, he used to scare me a bit when I was a kid, especially during those scary transformations when they would do up close, like mucus face scary stuff. But you have to understand, he is a slave to the spirits of evil. He is their slave. So
exactly.
It's almost like they're reminding him that he is not in control. He is not Mumra, the ever-living so amazing. He is Mumra, the slave of the spirits of evil, who do what they tell him to do. He's not so great. And because he has not performed, he needs to get slapped down a couple of pegs.
And it's been a while that he's had to do this.
But the other thing is, too, is if you realize that in this universe or in this cartoon, most of the bad guys are cowards.
Yes.
I mean, Mumra is also a coward. He's not, as much as he is evil, and he is a coward because he cowards to the spirits of evil. So you have to realize he has something over his head. He is, like, in other words, he is not just this free operating evil entity. He has limitations because of his powers. He has limitations because of his seeing his reflection at times. He has limitations on how long he can go without going back to his pyramid sarcophagus. And he has limitations on the spirits of evil are really what's pulling the strings from him. He has to bow down to them And so there is a form of cowardice there, because even though he grandstands a lot, he is still cowering to them because they're the source of his power. And they remind him, you are nothing without us. You say that you're so amazing. And as long as evil exists, we are that evil that empowers you. The mutants are cowards. Rotaro is a coward. Other than the entities in Third Earth, like the living ooze or the widow shark that is just like primal evil things.
Med bubbler.
Yeah. The rest of them are they're cowards.
They always run.
They're bullies and cowards. And that's something that the good characters, that's not a flaw of theirs. They have valor, they have strength, they're not cowards. There's no cowardice there. Even the smallest, the Wile E. Kid and Wile E. Cat and Snarf and Snarfer, they might have this like apprehension and be like, I'm a little scared, but they obviously Snarf has taken on Mumra.
Oh, in this episode too,
He jumps him.
And tries to like, I was gonna say, is he finally scratching his eyeballs out? Nor his eye
sockets.
Take them out, Snarf. Take them out, Snarf.
Sick him. Eat him. Snarf. Sick him.
No. That's gonna have to be my new thing to save. Eat it, even. Eat it. I'm gonna have to add that.
The spirits of evil tell him, they give him a plan. They're like, we have to tell you know exactly how to do it.
Oh, exactly. We're gonna tell you the plan this time. You know, Chitara? You know that one? But I love these grants. It's always something. If you get a piece of the casket, and I love when Mumra says casket later. The casket! It's a piece of the casket! So if you get a piece of the casket, give it to Chitara, she will locate the rest of the treasure. Okay.
So Mumra takes the mum raft.
David, he runs. It's like literally like instant, like almost like they're running to Voltron. Ready the mum raft, Mammut.
Mammut. Prepare the mum raft.
Runs into it and they're off. Mammut is piling it.
I have this
shout out to Zach with his eraser that Mammut raises up on, the eraser head.
Oh,
that
my God.
Pencil eraser. But what were you going to say when he's...
I have the vision. I'm listening in my head, but you said Voltron. Dinotherms, whatever, connected. Let's form Voltron!
It looks like that because Mammut raises up. They lock into position. He must go into his bed.
I see them running, holding onto the things, propelling down, getting into the lions right now. Let's form Voltron.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, da. We cut to Cat's lair and we see Pumaira. She has one line and she's gone.
The feliners crashed on New Thundera.
I knew something bad was going to happen.
We don't even have a ship to rescue them.
There is one other ship we could use.
She's like, Lino, does my transfer come in? Let me remind you that my new degree came in from my online herbal college. I am not only a medicine healing woman, I also have discovered the miracle of macrame. Through Willa. And I have also learned, I'm actually very well versed in a lot of other skills.
Wouldn't that be so funny? She's trying to remember, because she's at Cat's lair today. So she's like, you know, I had to stop by, like David said, you know, we didn't switch our address over. So Cat's lair might get the degree. Willa doesn't know that I live at the tower. So please.
Or she's like, I've been alone with you inside my mind. Hello, is it me you're looking for? She's behind the door, the chamber.
And meanwhile, Lionel's thinking of holding Mumra in his robe. At that moment, Panther, Tiger, and Chitara arrive at New Thundera in the Feliner. But Mumra causes the craft to crash. And then he changes
the
craft to the craft to crash.
Craft to crash. But he uses the Sword of Plundar.
Where has this been?
I'm really excited about that. That upped the ante. He's like, okay, now I'm... But Chitara sensed him right before she goes, oh, I'm sensing something. Let me...
Chitara is on a roll. They really, this is it. This season in season 4, we got Chitara sensing things. We got the Sword of Plundar, these treasures that are never ending. Yes, he makes them crash, and Pumaira's one line besides, Lion-O, I am useful and you will use me. Use me. Choose me is... We have to rescue them, but we don't have an aircraft that will travel to New Thundera. Thundera. Well, on New Thundera, Mumra's hidden grotto in a cave where he says, rebuild. He calls the ancient spirits of evil to rebuild his pyramid. And then
says, rebuild my pool, doesn't he? And then the sarcophagus comes, the pool, and the totems come back.
And he says, Mammut, we must find a piece. Instantly, the one part he digs is a piece of the casket that is in the shape of a cat. I mean, it's very instantly, you know, this is not mistaken.
Mammut is got some uses.
Now we must search for a fragment of the casket which held the treasure of Thundera. Seek, Mammut! We must not fail! What is it, Mammut? What have you found? We have it! A piece of the casket!
Chitara David gets a premonition as they approach the planet and said it would be a bad place for an ambush. But I do love this. They get out and he says, nice driving, Chitara. There you go, David, with the gears being reversed this time. They have their Thundarian gym bags again.
Oh my God, I wrote that Thundercats duffel bag. Tigra, I want. That's what I wrote.
I mean, really? We said this with Zach before. Like, why didn't they make? Because this is honestly genius. Like, this
I did buy Ryan a sexually charged purse.
Oh my God. We have to show. When we start doing videos and stuff, we have to show you the.
And he bought me a very gloriously sexy shirtless.
That should be the background.
Maybe I'll hang it up. Shirtless Lion-O, very large blanket that I can wrap myself in and just fantasize.
It was a nice size, right?
You can
put that red cloak on, David, and press against it. Oh my God, this Halloween! Oh my God. You could be Mumra with embraced on Lion-O. Mumra asks the ancient spirits of evil to disguise him as the fog of despair. Now, this evidently must be a thing, but I love in Thundercats and Mumra especially, he knows every creature and it's always, transform me into this. You know the fog of despair. He lives. He lives on Third Earth, around by the living ooze and, you know,
he's friends with the Inflamer.
Yeah.
And he lives up two forests from the universe. Unicorn forest, and you know his story. We don't have to talk about it. We don't talk about that anymore. Fog of despair.
So make me him. And it's like a fog with Mumra's face in it. Okay, it's not the Man of War. Do you remember that was like the first season, like the fifth episode? He turned into a gigantic Man of War.
Well, it's also not Janet Jackson looking over Heal the World.
Oh my God. Like Luna, we had that.
The Luna.
So, at Castle Plundar, oh my God, Slythe, Vulture Man, and
Vulture.
Monkey. Vulture is in control, did you notice this? He's telling them what to do.
Battle stations! Lion-O's coming! What?
Impossible, Monkey! You've finally gone bonkers! My sensors would have detected him!
We can't trust the mutants, Lion-O. They'll only try to double-cross us.
We have no choice. The Rat Star is the only ship on Third Earth that can make the trip to New Thundera.
Well, maybe we should just, borrow it.
No.
If we act like thieves, we'll be turning our backs on the Code of Thundera.
Oh, hold it right there, Lion-O. One more step, and we'll blast you to smithereens.
I honestly think that at this point, because of the Luna attacks and everything, the mutants don't even bother anymore. It's been a while since they've actually...
I love this, though.
They're just living their lives. They're like, whatever, dude. I'm not even bothering with these Thundercats. We don't care.
Wouldn't you have loved, though, David, though, if this... They really just became even more... Like, if this went well and they didn't turn on them, I would have loved this. Just like, yeah,
no,
you'll give
us money. I would have loved to seen a funny way, but a montage of, like, you see Slythe, like, perfecting new recipes. He goes back to his cooking roots. Monkey decides to karate and tai chi, and he becomes zen, and he's like teaching other people in the forest and on the branches of the trees.
You know, Jackalman wasn't here. Could he be on his own emanciation? His boots with the fur.
Maybe he's created his own line of faux fur boots. Unfortunately, he enslaves the brute men to make it, but at least they get to sit down when they're making them.
Oh good. The brute men get to sit down. Yeah, I could picture them. They have to compete with Willa's macrame Etsy shop. Me, Jackalman.
Yeah. You know that the monthly festival is coming up, and I have to sit. And I have to sit near that annoying unicorn keeper's booth. She's always complaining about her husband. My husband, the unicorn keeper.
This is why I can't wait for David to see Thundercats Roar, because they would do things like that. Like,
first of all, if we had thought of this podcast a few years back, we could have wrote Thundercats Roar, from what I'm understanding. No offense to the writers.
They had running jokes throughout the series like that. Our running jokes, truly.
And I always tell people before, if personally, when I lived on my own and did the stuff I did, if I would have had a camera crew before The Real World came out, I would have been famous, because the stuff that my friends and I did would have made people
gasp.
Think a lot. And I don't mean it in a negative way, but think. And they would have been highly entertained, because we did ridiculous things. I mean, ridiculous things. I mean, like, I told you, we picked up two guys. That sounds so sexual. We picked up two gay guys at a Denny's and decided to take a road trip with two strangers, but they were very sweet. Too strange to visit Marilyn Monroe's grave. We drove from Arizona to California out of nowhere. No reason. I mean, we just did crazy stuff like that. That's just a very tame thing. I'm telling you, we would have had, if we had a camera crew, it would have been so much fun and so amazing. I would be so plastic right now. I'd have my 17th injection. I'd be a Snooki. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, before this stuff. So I have no doubt. It's just, you know, other people do those type of things. But yeah, we were very, how do I say, real.
Outside Castle Plunder, I noticed, David, they have totems that look like scarecrows now. Also part of their decorating. Maybe the holidays are coming up. Maybe it is Halloween again.
So. Or maybe that's there to scare off people. They're like, you will end up like this. Or maybe they're advertising, you know, the festival's coming up where they're going to sell their goods.
Oh my God, it's like those arm things that move around, the blow up things. Those things that like open, come to the car wash.
Car wash or whatever. Yeah, those.
Snarf and Lionel walk on foot. They come with a white flag and money. And Vulture Man is listening the whole entire time. Oh, maybe they're going to double cross us. Let's take, and he goes, let's take them to Thundera. And they're like, no, let's do it. Let's take them to Thundera. Take that money.
When we're in deep space, we'll deep, what did he say? Once we're in deep space, we'll deep space them. Get rid of them in space.
We come in peace, mutants. We'll pay you to fly the two of us to New Thundera to save our friends.
Hit them with the Vari Cannon, Vulture Man. That'll send them packing. Yes.
Wait! Let's do it! Let's take them to the new Thundera!
What? Us? Help the Thundercats? You're insane, Vulture Man!
Oh, and you're nearsighted, Sly! Think of the possibilities! Once we're in deep space, we'll be...
Good idea, Vulture Man.
So, of course, they need the Rat Star. This is all thanks to Jackalman saving the Rat Star, right? When it fell.
Can I ask you something? At what point did they not want to go back to Plundar when they have the Rat Star that can go to Thundera? So where Plundar's can't be that far away. When you've gone back to Plundar and picked up some more mutants, even?
They are like the people that want to complain about everything, but they're just like, we're never going back. We're never going back. We love our business here. We love our cooking.
I'm top lizard here.
We love Pumaira and the Treetop Kingdom's wicked performance that's been going on for 2 months now.
Off Broadway.
Oh my God, it's off. It's really off Broadway. Now that the Thundercats are there looking, they got the boots. They got the spring-loaded boots.
And the mist boots. Is coming, the fog of despair. And Chitara's like, there's something wrong with that mist. I'm like, yeah, girl, it's got tentacles and it's trying to wrap around you. There is something wrong with it. Helen Keller could see there was something wrong with that fog.
By Thundera, what is that?
That fog. There's something terribly wrong. I sense an awful danger.
Let's get out of here, fast!
You think Tiger's like, okay, Chitara, now we get it.
He's like, Chitara, I'm not even eating any of the special fruit right now, but I can see, girlfriend, there's something wrong with the tentacles coming out of the fog. In fact, I could see Mumra's face in this fog right now.
I'm going to say, can you see Mumra's face?
But I'll let you have it. I know this is your episode. I'll let you have it.
We'll let you shine, Chitara. Panther says, go ahead. I'll try to stop it. Instantly sucked.
Yeah, they get caught. And then you notice they kind of like curl into like a fetal thing.
Position,
and then Mumra drops them off in
the Valley of, let me see.
Annoyance.
The Valley of, welcome to the Valley of Tears. No, I don't even know. He flies them over to that valley where people become children again. And he says, welcome to your second childhood.
Oh, have a nice second childhood.
Now, the notes say this is actually wrong. He should have said their third childhood because he did this. But
Can they drop me off? Oh my God. Just
drop you off in there. Just like, ugh. And now if you remember, they don't remember who they are when they're Thunder Kittens. But this time, it was really easy to convince them. And first off, he takes the bodily form of Lion-O, but the ancient spirits of evil can't do dental ever, David. Why
did you see when he first transformed the evil face on the flash quick of that? It was really freakish.
But why do they never get the teeth right, the ancient spirits of evil? They're like, no, Mumra, we can't.
No, Mumra, when you decided to sign up with us, I told you there was no dental and no vision.
Oh my God.
We told you there was no comprehensive dental care. And there was no vision, kid. That's why you have no eyes, and that's why your teeth are messed up. We told you we would cover bandage replacement.
Which they have. And
evil magic.
Vet bills, possibly.
You can get your own vet insurance. But we are not. You can take it to the Burble Village next to Robert Roberto's taco stand. There's a new vet place that opened up. We could take the dog there.
Two stars, Mumra says.
And you can give that mama some greenies to clean his breath out.
Matter of fact, eat them yourself, Mumra. Eat them yourself.
No comprehensive dental for mummies.
Fake Lion-O says, there's fake Thundercats here and you're gonna like...
Bleh. He's so mean. He calls them brats. He's like, dig!
He always says dig when he's under the thing. Like, no couth. And then, this is the best. Tiger goes, you can't talk to us like that. And out of nowhere, Chitara goes, chill. No, not chill, but she's like, easy, Tiger, easy. I'll do it. Like, why?
Wait a minute. He goes, do it, you brat. And she goes, I'll do it, but I think you're crazy.
Crazy, yeah. Ooh, Chitara, little
I'll
Chitara.
Do it, but I think you're crazy.
I love that. That was great, too. I don't care what you think I am. You do it.
Who are you?
I am Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats. And you cubs are to come with me on an important mission.
Why should we?
Because a wicked Thundercat imposter is trying to steal the treasure of Thundera, and we must prevent it. Now, concentrate on this fragment of the treasure's casket, little Chitara, and you will know where the remainder of the treasure lies.
I'll know? What do you mean?
Just do it, you little brat!
Hey!
You don't have the right to speak to us like that.
Easy, Tigra. Take it easy. I'll do it, but I think you're crazy.
that's a great line. I'll do it, but I think you're crazy. I'm gonna use that on my kids when they ask me something. I'll do it, but I think you're crazy.
And she touches the piece of the casket, and instantly she goes, "I feel like it's over those hills." And I'm like, "Chitara just need to do this now for the rest." And she goes, "The rest of the treasure." But that ain't it, because it never. That's not the rest of the treasure. Whatever the case is, we cut to the Rat Star. And does Snarf say the mutants are so dumb because there's something going on with the electricity? And he's like, "Yellow to red will make you dead," or something. I don't know. He doesn't not make you dead, but he's
like, "Blow your head," or something. Yeah, it's like some like will fill you with dread. I don't know. It's like some kind of cute little like saying to remember not to put now, green is this to red.
He's electrified himself a few times on wires by chewing on them.
He has been electrocuted a few times at the Cat's Lair, at the Rat Star,
and
at
Rat Star specifically. Yes,
when he was trying to upshow Snarfer at the Cat's Lair.
No, you mutants are so dumb. Now listen carefully. Connect yellow to red to get you ahead, but yellow to green will make you scream.
I'll make you scream, Fireball!
Let him go, Slythe. You promised to take us to New Thundera. Is this how you mutants keep your word?
No! This is how we keep our word.
They begin to then turn on the Thundercats like we didn't think they were going to. But Snarf says it's because he tried to help them. It's all his fault. No, I don't think that was it, Snarf. But they get locked up.
No, he gave them the in because they were able to grab Snarf at the time. They didn't stay away from them. That's what he's probably saying.
Although Snarf keeps telling Lion-O, "You better keep," like the whole entire time. He's like, "Don't relax, Lion-O. You better stand on guard." And he's like, "I'm okay, Snarf. We got
he's
this."
He's like, "Don't you realize that Slythe has a cooking show now? He doesn't really care. He has a YouTube
he's got
cooking
a career.
Show.
He's got a career now. He doesn't want to do these things
he
anymore.
Doesn't want. He doesn't want us to put any negative comments under his new recipes that are coming out in his book.
He's trying not to be canceled, Snarf. You understand?
Slythe on a budget. His new book, Slythe on a
Slythe
budget.
Slythe on a budget!
Thundarian spices, yes.
All of a sudden, they're locked up. They throw them in some kind of... Snarf knows instantly is a soundproof room, so you won't be able to get the Sword of Omens.
Which is not true, because when the Sword of Omens literally got plunged into a black hole, I'm sure the sound of Lion-O's voice did not reach the sword. It just was a telepathic, magical connection. I would have still went for it.
But it is stupid, because they left him out, and he goes, "I'm going to release Lion-O," and sure enough, he does. He releases them enough that Lion-O can break the rest of it with his... grr. And then he goes, "I'm going to open this panel, Snarf, and I'm just going to take control of the ship." Okay.
And maybe, hopefully not crash.
We're upside down, and Sly goes, "Well, thank you, Sherlock Holmes."
Thank you, Sherlock Holmes.
The reference they would never know, but hysterical.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay, cut back to New Thundera. Lion-O and Snarf head on over to try to find the Thunder Kittens, which we find out now. They find out they're Thunder Kittens. And Snarf says, "They've been turned into Thunder Cubs." And there's the fake Lion-O, and he goes, "That's the one I've been telling you about. That's the fake one.
You brats."
Yeah, you. "I hate you."
Holy Thundera! Panthro, Tigra, and Chitara have been changed into Thunder Cubs.
Thunder Cubs! These are the imposters I warned you about.
Hey! Who are you calling an imposter? You, whoever you are?
Don't listen to that furry traitor. You must fight these imposters while I escape with the Mirror of Truth.
Whoever you are, don't mess with us. We're the Thunder Cubs.
Easy, Snarf. I don't want the Thunder Cubs between us and that phony Lion-O. Judge the truth for yourselves, Thunder Cubs. Look into the Mirror of Truth and see who you really are.
That's me, but older. Look!
I don't understand. One of you is lying. You!
Give me that! No!
They found the mirror, and all of these treasures are beautiful still. They've been in dirt in an exploding reformed planet.
They're magical.
I guess. Everything is magical, though. And Lion-O looks at it and
Thundercats are magical.
But he instantly looks at it and he goes, "That's the Mirror of Truth," or some. I don't even know what he says. "It's the Mirror of Truth." Yeah, I read about it in the book. The book he can't read, remember? He didn't read it in the book.
That's the mirror of vanity.
The mirror ends up reflecting, right? So what the hell happens? The real Lion-O is able to turn the Thunder Cubs back into adults. Mumra's changes into his all-powerful form, which is his buff Hunkra, I believe Mitesh called it, Hunkra. And he flies at Lion-O, but Chitara uses the mirror to deflect the shot back at him.
Snark. Revenge is the delight of a mean spirit.
I'll be back. I'll never forgive you for this humiliation, Dr. Cat. I will have my revenge!
Oh, yeah? Well, I've got one for you, Mumra. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Thundercats!
Ho!
If we learned anything from movies, TV shows, mirrors reflect lasers, they reflect magic, they reflect beams. Mirrors reflect everything. That's all it is.
Yes, but you remember that the Lion-O used a sort of omens and the mirror to turn them back to their regular age.
Thank God, like you said, it wasn't.
I would have been so annoyed if they had to go to the tunnel of time.
Every time we go into this time, does it actually like add still to our age? You know, I know we're coming back, but does it add? You know, I don't want to add.
Oh my God, you have no idea. I would have taken Lion-O.
Not again.
You better take that sword over to that fountain of youth and get me a few bottles, because I'm going to take a couple of sips to see, because I'm feeling a little older than I thought I was.
You...
Okay, you better take that sword and kill whatever guardians are still there, if there is any.
You're telling me I'm not aging? I feel it. I feel it.
I'm going to bathe in that water. I'm going to gargle it. I don't care, but I'm not going to get older. Older than I'm supposed to be, fool.
Mm-mm.
I still want to know if Mumbar drank that, would he get his skin come back? If he bathed in the fountain of youth, would anything happen?
Or would he go back to his original mummification, like the original, maybe, the original pickled process? At least. There's a part where the mutants are attacking and Snarf says, shoot them down. And David, this was for you. Lion-O says, revenge is a sign of a mean spirit, David.
I know, I wrote that down. It quotes revenge. No, revenge is the delight of a mean spirit.
That sounds like a fortune cookie, speaking of. Revenge is the delight of a mean
spirit. Not only is he beautiful, he's got a beautiful heart, strong, he's got a powerful sword. He is also philosophical. I mean, perfect man. And he's got a job.
He's a lord of a Thundercats.
That's a job.
He's got a title.
He's respected by his peers.
This is amazing, too. When Mumra's defeated, he's screaming again. He's never going to forgive them.
He was embarrassed again. Did he say that he embarrassed them or he disrespected them?
That's how I got disrespected him again. How dare you? And his Mumma is flying around. Snarf's like literally like belittling him back. He's like, we don't care, Mumra. And then she puts up her hand like this. I love this shot. She just goes, huh? He's just babbling again. But the animation is great because Mumma is taking him up. He's looking down at them trying to scream at them. So funny.
Chitara's like, I told you to take your damn medicine, Mumra. Calm yourself.
You're not yourself without a Snickers, Mumra. The Thundercats repair the feliner and head back to Third Earth, taking with them the Mirror of Truth and the mutants, and they put them in the baggage compartment.
Now, the funny part is, they're talking, they're like, they're gonna leave us here, and Lion and call it? Of course, Snarf again's like, leave them here. You should grovel. He said, grovel. Or something to that effect. And then Lion-O comes over. Well, Snarf convinced us to take you.
You know, Snarf, that one, he wants to show a big game, but then he's like, you know what, Lion-O, your father wouldn't appreciate this. Take them. But put them in the baggage compartment and hope that they die.
Make them suffer.
Yeah.
Is the baggage compartment, pressurized or not?
Stop complaining, Sly, and help
me figure a way to prevent those blasted Thundercats from leaving for Third Earth without us.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
Well, mutants, that all depends on how effectively you grovel.
Well, mutants, much against my better judgment, Snarf has persuaded me to take you back to Third Earth.
And since the feline's baggage compartments are empty,
we have just about enough room.
Of course, it won't be very comfortable, but it's more than you deserve.
So, Thundercats, let's go home.
David, this enrages me now too, because are they going to send them to exile? Or no, as soon as they open the baggage compartment, they're just going to run off hogtied? Like run off at it, like, and just like have smoke following them, you know?
Well, here's the question. What if they disagreed and said they weren't going to let them use the Rat Star?
He would have had to take it by force. Like I think Snarf says, let's borrow it, Lionel. Yeah, he's really getting, Snarf is getting
questionable. Where is Snarfer? Snarfer can go in space. Okay, did we learn a lesson? We learned a lesson from today. Besides, revenge is the delight of a mean spirit.
Oh my god, that's the best. The trivia, by the way, the start of the episode shows a few scenes from the Thunder Cubs five-parter. Jackalman is absent, and so is Wile E. Kit Kat, Lingso, and Bengali. Pumaira only appears in the beginning and is not seen again. Much like this poor woman's whole life and career on this show.
Abandoned
once again. In this episode, Mumra, for the second time in the series, changes into Lionel. The first time he morphed into Lionel was fond memories. Do you like my arts collection? However, in that episode, he was red. Yes. So we don't have that. Okay, David, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 because I enjoyed it. I mean, maybe a 3.9 out of 5. I didn't dislike it at all, but because of the repeating Thunder Kittens thing, I'll give it a 3.9.
I'm going to say 3.5.
Okay, a little lower.
Not that it was horrible. It just...
No.
I mean, maybe I'm being mean about it, but I'm not trying to be. I just think that it hit the mark in many ways. It just wasn't top tier.
The last
But it was good. It was good.
Yes, it was
comparatively
good
speaking, I mean, you had a lot of elements. I like the Mumra heaviness because we haven't had him in a while. And there's certainly good parts of it. So I guess I'm going to stick with the 3.5.
But we do have one more thing today. And of course, that is, who is our biggest Bunglers.
Once again, you have failed.
You are a worthless, bungling idiot.
Bunglers.
You bungler. You bungled the job again.
You bungled it.
Delightful.
So for this last episode we did, the biggest bungle for me would be the Thundercats not having an alternative way to get to Thundera in case their ship did break down.
I never thought of Snarfer, though. You're so right.
I mean, that is a big bungle. I mean, what if normal things, nobody interfered, they just engine lost, they're going to die in space?
Or why do they never call Mandora?
Or why don't they have an alternative ship?
They need to turn the Thunderstrike into an interplanetary.
Buy the parts. Do something.
That's true, honestly. I never
There's
even thought
gotta
of
be
that.
Raw material on Thundera too. They can mine metal or something. Do something. Do
There's
something.
Remnants
no, I'm
of
not
trash.
Trying to be like that. I'm just saying, with all the resources they have, they probably have Burbles make it anyway. But as far as like, that's a bungle not having that and having to rely on the mutants, that's a big bungle for me. Mumra, I don't know. Do you think Mumra bungled anything in this last episode?
I think the Lionel bungled for the mutants, thinking the mutants weren't gonna double cross. Or I mean, he kind of did, but he thought it kind of, I guess, was going to go better.
Well, I think he just was confident because they haven't been a threat in so long. Kind of feels like they're just
okay,
chilling.
I could take that. Okay.
I think they're just like, because they seem to have a very nonchalant, even like when they were talking to him, like, we're going to shoot you. It wasn't like some big, like, it's like, we're just going to shoot you. Leave us alone. Like, we don't want you. Go away. We're going to shoot you. So I'm going to say the bungle for me was not having alternative means of getting home safely.
And Key of Thundera?
Key of Thundera.
To say it, even though it's against their code and we should be going by their code, Mumra out of the book, I have to say it as a bungle, because if you need to trap something so evil, that would be a way of trapping it, I think. But Lionel was right, though. He would learn the secrets of the Thundercats, so maybe I'm wrong. But I'll say that.
Maybe you should have let him suffer a little longer. Open a book, see what...
So that's, I mean, honestly, because I think everyone did, I mean, Chitara was a badass, so I mean, what else could they have done? Panther for almost throwing out the key?
I'm gonna say a few bungles, nothing major. One, I always go back to that one saying in the movie Van Helsing with...
My God, Hugh Jackman.
With Hugh Jackman, when she says, if you're going to kill somebody, just do it. Don't talk about it.
Amen.
Because I would have just threw the book in the pool immediately, as soon as I got home. I wouldn't have said, sick him, throw the sword. I would have went bloop, done.
Violet.
No, but seriously. This is why I always say Mumra enjoys the game a little too much, because... Wouldn't you have just immediately, really, if this is your arch nemesis, right?
I wouldn't have waited.
I would have been trying to burn the book before I even got home. On the way home, threw it into the acid lake, something. You're going to try to say, like, you don't, I feel like, I mean, obviously then there would be no show. But what I'm trying to say is, or he could have taken the book and sent it into a black hole or another dimension or some kind of nonsense. That's a bungle, because if you really want someone gone, just stop talking about it and do it. To me, that's a bungle. Again, but that's a finality. Then the show would be over. There'd be no Lord of Thundercats. Okay. But that is a bungle. Stop talking about it. He bungled even with the sword. Not that it mattered, because Lionel could have called to the sword at some point anyway, but he didn't. He told him, he's playing fetch with the dog. That's a bungle for two.
Because he's saying, sick it.
He's throwing it, which normally you throw it to a dog, it brings it back. That was kind of a bungle for me in the sense it's just kind of miscommunication, kind of silly. I would have used the Sword of Omens to look and see if I could look into the text of the book earlier on.
You mean episodes?
But I would have said sight beyond sight.
I guess he couldn't even
be. I don't know if that would have been a difference in how it would have reacted. But I also would have asked for sight beyond sight when I was on New Thundera to find the treasures and see if the Sword of Omens would help me locate treasures.
1,000%! 1,000%!
That's a little bit... I don't know. That was a hard one, because first of all, we really liked the episode.
Yes, yes.
I think it would have been a major bungle if Panther, after searching for these treasures, sees a treasure and decides to dispose of it. That would have been a
beautiful key. A beautiful key.
Well, regardless if it's beautiful, Panther doesn't look at things in that way.
But a Thundercat's insignia.
I think that's kind of, that was... Even
he's like, the whole planet was.
Even a thought of doing that was kind of silly. I don't know. I'm trying to really reach for something.
Because it could have been the lock for the casket that opened the treasure. You know? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. So what do you think?
I think not leaving Mumra still in the book for a little while. Like, a little while. Give a reprieve. Maybe his energy would have been so low that he would have had to do shadow form again. Well, Bunglers, you let us know. We love to hear from you. And we do have to do a mail and more episode soon with all of your comments. But let us know what you think, because I'm sure you guys will come up with genius bunglers for this.
I mean, you can also send me any information on what you think about Lionel and Wizra and Bengali. Chitara's
Fan art. Anyone out there want to make us? Oh my God, I would absolutely love it. Lionel being embraced or Mumra being embraced by Lionel in his arms. Oh, that's what we got to work up to.
Remember, revenge is the delight of a mean spirit.
What a delightful episode altogether, David. We will be back, oh my God, this month with another two episodes in 2 weeks. Which, we got two more episodes. Please like, comment, share. Please leave us a review on Apple if you are able to. We also have a contest going on our Radical Retro Rewind podcast for all of our listeners, Thundercats or Radical ones. And you could win...
Freezy Freakies.
Yes, one of two...
Lucky winners.
Will win a pair in the size and style of their choice. That's on our Instagram. All you got to do is like, comment, and follow along with us, and we will let you know that's by the end of February, so enter that if you are
interested. And if you're a child of the 80s, which I'm assuming most of our listeners are, not all of them, even if you're not, Freezy Freakies are super cool. They were all the rage with hypercolor clothing, too, and I think it's great. I was so excited that they decided to team up with us and do this I think it's just wonderful, and it's so nostalgic and so cool, and I am going to figure out what pairs I'm getting my kids.
Oh.
And for myself, I have ideas. I actually have their website up right now.
They're perfect. I mean, they really, it's perfect. It's perfect for us.
They're really a really nice company. And it was really nice of them to pair with us and do this with us, because it's, you know, it's great. I love being able to be a part of giving away anything to people.
Yes.
Anyway, I love giving away stuff. And obviously it helps the podcast. It helps them. You know, it's definitely good advertisement for both of us, which is mutually a great thing, but like super cool, because it is on our brand. It is our brand. We are a retro podcast. So again, really cool. I am excited to be doing more of these things. I know we probably have some more things in the works, right?
Yes, we are working on another one. But again, you got to follow us on Instagram. So follow us on Instagram, Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word on Instagram. We also have the Thundercats Instagram, Thundercats 1985 Reviews. And then we have David's at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. Thank you again, our beautiful bunglers, for joining us this week for another double episode of Thundercats reviews and recaps. And again, join us in 2 weeks for another set of episodes. We just love you guys. And David, it's come to that time, I'm sorry to say, Thundercats ho!
Are you saying that this episode is the return of the Thunder ho?
Yes.
Who are you calling a hoe?
Ryu. No, I'm sorry. Ryu.
I'll do it, but I think you're crazy.
Hold me closer, Tiny Mumra.
Hold me closer, Tiny Mumra.
Count the lights along the cat's lair.
Count the lights along the cat's lair.
Wrap me up in sheets of linen.
Wrap me up in sheets of linen.
Oh, ancient spirit, I had a busy day.
You had a busy day today.
Hold me closer.
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 Hold me closer, Tiny Mumra.
Oh, Lion-O.
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.